Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth, coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fon Miller, speaker on the broadcast. Delighted you've taken the time to tune our way. We're going to continue our study on loving God biblically. Our text is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 and 5. And we're right at this present moment in Luke chapter 10, seeing it exemplified, this matter of loving God with our heart, soul, mind, strength. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege it's ours to look into thy word. We can love you, even though thou art God, and you inhabit all of eternity. You created everything. You made us, but you made us with the capacity to love. And I pray that we might manifest that in a very diligent way, that we might realize that the chief end of man is to love God and to glorify you, and help us to do just that. Now, thank you again for the privilege we have to broadcast your word. May the songs and may the message be that which will reach the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls, and we'll praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
Never said I'd have silver or gold, yet he has promised me riches untold. He never suffered a life without care, yet he relieves every burden I bear. Sin stained the cross with the blood of my Lord, yet he permitted it without a word. Why? Tell me why he redeemed you and I'm an heir to all heaven affords. Though I may never achieve earthly fame, yet all of heaven can call me by name. Sin stained the cross with the blood of my Lord, yet
and love is why. What a beautiful song. I hope that was a blessing to your heart. Prepare you for the Word of God. We're talking about this matter of love, loving God biblically. And we come into Deuteronomy in chapter 6. And we discussed last week, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The fact that he is one God. And we need to recognize him as such. He is in control of everything. Then we looked at verse 5, and that's where we are as of yet. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. If you recall, we went back into the New Testament, and we looked at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, where that is described just like that, with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Mind, it says there. Here it says might, and there's a divine reason on that. We'll talk about it. Mark 12:30, again, he gives the same thing, but there he puts strength. He adds strength to that. It's just a little bit further definition to what he has said here in might. Might would include the strength. Then we went to Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. Again, this same phrase is used. But what we've done in the book of Luke, we went beyond that to show it manifesting itself. We want you to see what love now is showing us. This idea of your mind, your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, and thy neighbors thyself. That is part of this that he's saying. These are things that are very difficult for you and I to do. It was Paul who in Philippians 3:10 wanted to know Christ, know him intimately. And so that's what he declares that great verse in verse 10. But now we come over here to verse 30, when it was asked, who is my neighbor? This was a lawyer who wanted to justify himself as to what he's doing. And Christ uses an illustration that really, if we understand the mentality, if you go to John chapter 4, you find the woman at the well where Christ was speaking with her. She said, how is it that you, being a Jew, speaks to me, a Samaritan? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. So what the Lord is doing is taking this lawyer who would have fought cases, you know, to defend a Jew for not having anything to do with a Samaritan. But what the Lord does, he takes this Samaritan and shows the love that he is trying to describe to these people that they might get a hold of it. He's showing them that love. A man who had no reason to help that Jew. Why? The Jews didn't care for him. The Jews would go out of their way not to go through Samaria. And yet when it said in John 4 that Christ must needs go through Samaria. Well, he's saying that this man, this Jew, and it's rather interesting. He makes it very clear. Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, notice, this is a Jew that went down there. And now, and by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And he saw him and passed by on the other side. In other words, he wasn't going to get his hands dirty with this bloodied up individual and there because he's not supposed to touch this or that. Well, you know, the Lord used the illustration when he talked with Israel and they were talking about the Sabbath day. He said, which of you, having an ox fall in a pit, would not get him out on the Sabbath day? So then the Lord did that in rebuke when they wanted to know why he healed a guy's arm and other healings that he did on the Sabbath day. And he declared to them that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Well, that's exactly what's here. Here's the priest. They did have ceremonial law. They did have practice that they were supposed to follow. But it didn't say they couldn't help somebody. It's just that they had to go through their ritual cleaning before they offered their sacrifice. So this priest was very much allowed to go and help that man. But he didn't. Then the Levite. And he's one that assisted the priests in that and had in charge of the temple or the tabernacle and then later on in the temple. When he was at the place, came, looked on him, and passed by on the other side. Come over and looked and said, yep, that's a Jew. Yep, he's been beaten up. Yep, he's almost dead. Okay, I'll let him there. I'm going to go. You see, it's interesting. We can say that we love one another. But how do we respond that to that individual, if especially if it's in need of a my help, my encouragement, lifting him up? You know, where are we at in that? Now I realize in our society today there's a lot of things happen. Somebody says, I don't know if I want to help somebody because they'll turn around and sue me, and that is true. But in the biblical sense, what the Lord is saying here is that, you have these two religious people who would have declared they loved God, and yet here's one of God's creation they wouldn't lift a hand to help. Well, then he says, and here's somebody has no reason to help a Jew, has no reason to show kindness. But this isn't his makeup. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So one of the first things that when you love God properly in verse 27 or the other passages we've looked at, is that we will have compassion on others. You see, we're going to look at things as Christ. Do you remember when Christ was there on the hillside over Jerusalem? He looked and he wept. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chicks and you would not. The weeping that he had, the compassion he had for people. When the Bible tells us about this multitude of Samaritans that came out there in chapter 4, he was moved with compassion on them. Others that he saw, that they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. You see, a response that will be natural to somebody who has a love for God is when he has a concern and a compassion on somebody who is in a lesser state than you are. I don't mean position-wise, but I mean this man was hurt. This man was wounded. This man was in real serious problems, and the Samaritan had compassion on him. In other words, it doesn't matter. He's a Jew. Let me ask you a question. Do you look at individuals, and depending who they are or where they're from or what you perceive their background, that you would or would not help them? You know, the Bible lays it out very clear. We're not to give a meal to those who can give one back to us. James talks about that. And very simply, the idea is there are people out here, everybody needs our help. Now, we need to be able to reach out to them in compassion as a Samaritan does. He went to him. No reason that he should go to him, in the natural, but because he was a man with compassion on people, he looks at this Jew laying there beaten up. He went to him, bound up his wounds, poured oil and wine, and set him on his beast. In other words, he washed him up as best he could. He cleaned him up as best he could. He sacrificed what he had. Now, we don't know what he was going to do. We don't know why he had all that stuff. All we know is he had it, and he used it. You see, many times we talk about having a compassion for people. We'd have it biased to help, maybe money, maybe things, whatever. But we want to hold on to it. We don't want to give it. We don't want to sacrifice to somebody who can't pay us back. Why not? He went to him and he poured he bound up his wounds, poured oil in and wine, set him on his beast. Notice that he now gotten off of his beast, went over to help this man. Now he puts that man on his beast. And he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And again, we're not told. It says here on the morrow. It could have been a couple days. I don't know. We don't know for sure. But he took time to take care of him there in the inn. And then on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, in other words, I'm going to take care of him. I want him to be well. And so Christ asked the question, who's the neighbor? Well, certainly it was a Samaritan who in the normal sense would not have had to do anything to the Jew. Could have just walked by like the priest and the Levite. Well, you see, that's exactly where God wants you and me to be. Where we have a compassion on people and we're not content to let them go without helping them in any way or some way that we might be able to. You may not be able to give all the help they need, but you could lend them a hand. You could stand by them. You could help them in a situation where you find them so that they might prosper. And no, you may not get even a thank you. But the fact is, have you done it for the Lord? In most cases, people are grateful for that. But you know, the tragedy is we say we love God and then we ignore the people he's created. Think about that. We're going to listen to another song here just for a few minutes, and then we'll be right back to pick up where we're at here. Amen. Out of his great love. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now, when we talk about love, and we use it in so many different ways, we hear people say, I love this house. I love this whatever decoration was done. I love my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I love my wife. And I hope you do. I hope you love all those. But, you know, then we say, I love this car. I love this dog. I love this whatever. And we use love really frivolously. But these are things that we see. And think about this for a moment. God is asking us to love him, and we don't see him. You know, and somebody will say, well, how can I love that which I cannot see? Well, you cultivate that love by the Word of God. You know, I've found it real refreshing here in the last couple of days. I've been reading the book of Psalms. And I just, you know, it just, that's a tremendous love letter. Yes, it's history. Yes, it gives all kind of lessons there for us. But it's God's love letter to us. Or read the Song of Solomon. And see example of love. Or go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, probably the greatest single chapter on love and all that's defined about it. Well, you know, loving God is meaning to have an experience with him. That is a relationship. You know, I tell people, and I mean this seriously, when I started dating the gal who's now my wife, I don't think I was the third, maybe fourth date. I told her, I said, you know, you're the kind of girl I want to marry. Now, we didn't for over a year get married, but we did. And now we're over 60 years. When you hear this, it's over 60 years we've been married. You know something? As much as I loved her back then, And I loved her because I could see her, yeah. I could see her. I think of the dad who told his son, he said, "Now, son, do you understand beauty is only skin deep?" He said, "But, Dad, that's as far as I can see." Well, you actually can see into the heart, not physically, but the sincerity of the heart and so forth. And, you know, with the Lord, it's the same thing. The more you get in contact with him through his word, through prayer, the more that love relationship will grow. You know, I was thinking about something about Moses here in the Old Testament. Over in chapter 33 of the book of Exodus, we read this in verse 21. This is when Moses is up in the mount, and God is going to give him, again, that second set or the table of stone of the Ten Commandments. And Moses comes up in the mount. Now, notice this. "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shalt not be seen." Moses, you're going to get an experience. I'm going to give you experience. Now, if you understand that when he comes down to the children of Israel, his face glowed. He didn't realize that. Then they had to put a veil over it so the people could look upon him. And like somebody said, they put the veil over so that the people would not see how quickly the glory departed from his face. Well, that may be. But the point is, he is here in the very presence of God. And God, the Bible tells us that he spoke to Moses as no other man, for he spoke to Moses face to face. God had a relationship there and wanted Moses to have that relationship with him. You and I will not see the physical aspects of God. Now, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're not going to see a physical resemblance of God. Now, it's going to be interesting when we're in heaven. We are going to see the Lord. He was God in the flesh, and we'll see him. But we're also going to see the glory of God the Father. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand how it's going to be. I'm not going to try to explain it. But what he's saying is we need to have a relationship with God that we trust him. And we put our complete confidence. That's what it is with my whole heart and soul. I trust him. You see, it's what I need to do to show and demonstrate this faithfulness, this love that really is to be in my heart. And that love doesn't grow unless we make it grow. You know, I love my wife more right now than I did the day that I told her that she's the kind of girl I'd like to marry, even when the day we got married. Why? Because you learn to get along. Now, I know that there are people who have been married a few years and they're as divided as can be. Well, it's because they didn't try to cultivate anything. You know, I don't know what they're looking for. I don't know why they jumped the fence. I don't know what the story is. All I can tell you is, the more you try to get to know an individual, the greater that will be. That is, if you're trying to cultivate a love relationship. And, you know, there's people. You read about David and Jonathan, that they had a great love for each other. And it was not a sensual thing. Some people tried to make it that. No, it was a love relationship. They appreciated each other. They thought about each other for the betterment, looking out every man for his brother. Well, you come here to see this love relationship. Now, notice, as he said in verse 5, look at verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6. "These words that I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." So, in other words, I'm going to develop a love for my Lord as I put his word in my heart. "Thy word have I hid in my heart," the psalmist said, "that I might not sin against thee." Jesus said, "Thy word is truth. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. You and I need to get serious about reading the word of God and allowing the word of God to get in us and work in and through us. And so he says, these words that I command you this day shall be in thine heart. In other words, don't try to get away from them. And then thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. You know, beloved, the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, not depart from it. Now, he's not saying just take them to church or take them to Sunday school, take them to Bible school, DVBS, and that kind of thing. He is saying that we're to teach the principles of God's word to our children. We find illustration of God's word demonstrated before our families in our home. Our homes ought to be a haven where we are training our children. I think it's a tragedy today. And, I thank the Lord our church has a compassion for these kids. But I think what a sad, sad commentary on our homes is that many of these children come in to Wednesday night, a time of children's church, and they haven't eaten, maybe since breakfast. Their families cannot provide them with a meal. Now, they could. I don't think there's anybody that poor. With all the help that is given, all the food cupboards that they can go to, there's no reason a family couldn't have the food there, at least some food, maybe not the greatest kind of food. But, you know, children don't realize that it's in their home where they are to be taught. Why? Because the parents are teaching them. Beloved, we're to teach him diligently to our children. If we really love God, we're going to want our children to love God. And that means we're going to set for them the example, the teaching, not just talking, teaching them by example. And there's more here that we'll look at. Do you love God? Do you want your family to really love God? What are you doing to see that come into fruition? Are you teaching your children? Oh, I pray that you are. How about your wife, your husband? Are you showing them your love for the Lord by your relationship to them? I pray that you are. If we can be of spiritual help to you, my friend, contact us at WOTBM.org and make mention, Message of Truth. And then state your question. We'll give you the help that we possibly can. You'll not be on a mailing list, but we'll certainly be praying for you. Give us that opportunity. Father, take the word, meet the needs. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.